with my sister Kay. Everybody said that she danced so great. I realized a thing or two. Then I got wise to something new. I looked at Kate, she was in a trance. Then I realized it was in a dance. All the boys are going wild over Sister Katie's dancing style. Well, I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kay. Shakes just like jelly on a plate. Mama, mama wanted to know last night why all the boys are treating Kate so right. All the boys in the neighborhood knew she could shimmy and could take it good. I might be late, but I'll be up to date when I can shimmy like my sister Kay. Oh yeah, shimmy like my sister Kay.
Come on now, shimmy.
Shimmy like my sister Katie's able. She shakes it like a bowl of jelly on a rickety table. My mother was interrogating me quite recent.
Good evening. This is the Winnipeg neighborhood Elmwood, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 FM in Winnipeg. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to 52nd Street, Winnipeg's home of classic jazz. My name is Jay. For the next hour, I'll be your host right here on 101.5 UMFM. And we're doing a show tonight that is all about bebop. And you just heard from the two kings of bebop, Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. And we're going to hear from both of them a little bit later on individually as they sort of develop their own careers and their own sound and their own fame. Bebop, of course, is something we've talked about in the show before. It's a style of jazz developed in the... it emerges in the mid-1940s, but it kind of gets developed in the early 1940s. And what happens is there's actually a recording band. There's the war's on, but there's a dispute between the union, the musicians' union, and record company. So for a couple of years, there's this recording band. And so bop's an interesting kind of part of jazz because it emerges almost fully formed. Not quite, but when the record band comes off. And so by the mid-1940s, we have the sense of this new music that just kind of takes the stage. But of course, it had been developing in sort of Harlem nightclubs for a long period of time before that. Minton's Playhouse, mostly in Harlem. So it's characterized by a couple of things. Usually a very fast tempo. Complex chord changes, oftentimes very rapid chord changes and changes of keys, substitute chords. One of the great jokes is that an old swing musician said, in bop they flatten their fifths, in swing we drink ours, referring to a fifth, of course, of beer, or whatever else he's referring to. But this kind of virtuistic improvisation on these harmonics structures and scales. So it's a push forward in jazz. And so this is really the beginning of modern jazz as we think about it now. The idea of chord substitutions, the idea of more complicated chords, the idea of flattening or diminishing chords, the idea of quickly changing and rapidly changing. And one of the things bop became is music for musicians. And so it was very divisive because a lot of artists didn't want to embrace, and part of it was honestly, some of the musicians weren't very nice, right? They would actually speed up tempos or make them very complicated if new musicians wanted to come up on stage and jam. But through all of that emerged this kind of thing that became bop. And it really split the jazz world because it's sort of in 1944, 1945, especially as the war ends, you get people coming back wanting nostalgic sort of music that they'd missed. And that was sort of the emergence of sort of singers, people like Frank Sinatra and others who became so famous. And then bop became this sort of music for musicians. And then from bop, we get into hard bop and all the kind of things that really started to evolve in jazz. So tonight we're going to look at bop. We started off with Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie on a Charlie Parker composition called Ornithology, which is something that he had written and has all the characteristics of what a bop song is. It's interesting because actually Charlie Parker songs, as much as everyone talks about how, complex chord changes and all these other things, they're often written on standards. And so Scrapple from the Apple, I think it was, is written off of Cherokee. I think Ornithology is How High the Moon. I may be getting that wrong. So you're taking sort of the same chord structure, making a couple of changes, and then putting this new melodic improvisation over top. Coming up next, we're going to hear some more songs, and we're going to kind of speed it up a bit and get into that frenetic bop kind of pace that people, I think, associate with bop. Very few tenor saxophone players are associated with bop. We're going to hear a couple of them tonight. We're going to start off, though, this next set with Don Byas, who's playing a Charlie Parker song called Anthropology. And I think in so many ways it characterizes what we think of as bebop. Here it is, right here on 52nd Street. Thank you. Do that one. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to 52nd Street. We just heard two in a row. We started off with Don Byas and Anthropology from a live recording. That one took place in Copenhagen, where Don Byas actually lived for a number of years. He moved over there. There's still family descendants there. And then after that, J.J. Johnson. You know, if you think about Bop and the frenetic pace, imagine playing that on a slide trombone. And that's what J.J. Johnson did. You just heard it there on the song called Turnpike from the eminent J.J. Johnson Volume 1, featuring as well Clifford Brown on the trumpet and Jimmy Heath on tenor. Coming up next, we're going to play a couple more. We're going to hear one of the great piano players in Bop, and he's so often overlooked, and he never should be. He's a genius without question. His name is Bud Powell, and we're going to hear something from him called John's Abbey. And one of the things about, you know, when you hear Dizzy Gillespie, who we're going to hear just before we get into him, where you hear Charlie Parker, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the frenetic pace of it. And I think Charlie Parker lulls you into overlooking what he's doing melodically, which is fantastic. And I think Dizzy Gillespie lulls you into overlooking what he's doing technically. Well, maybe not lulls, but it's there. But Bud Powell is, there's a subtlety to his playing, even at the speed and even at the frenzy and even with the harmonies. We're going to hear him in a minute, but before we get there, let's hear the great Dizzy Gillespie, shall we? From a sextet that he recorded way back in 1945, here's the Dizzy Gillespie version of Salt Peanuts right here on 52nd Street.
Salt peanuts, 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 salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts, salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but there's something really compelling about that song. That was Bud Powell with John's Abbey. And before that, Dizzy Gillespie with Salt Peanuts, showing all the things that Dizzy Gillespie is known for, that sort of high range, the excitement, the frenetic kind of pace, and a little bit of an entertainment value there as well, as is he or someone is yelling out Salt Peanuts in the background. And a song that really became a staple of the bop movement. Coming up next, we're going to hear from, I said there wasn't a lot of tenor players, but somehow we're going to play a few of them tonight. Sonny Stitt had a very long and prominent career as an alto saxophone player and a tenor player. And I was looking for something with him on alto, and I came across this track, and I just loved it, so I wanted to play it for you tonight. It's a more recent recording. It's actually from a live recording in Boston way back in 2002, way back now in 2002. So an older Sonny Stitt, but playing beautifully. The song is called S.O.S., and it's partially written by him, or written by him. It's called the Columbus Avenue Rhythm. And, yeah, it's it's sort of what happens when somebody starts off playing bop and keeps playing for the whole career, and what they sound like, because he is a master of the horn by this point. But is that kind of frenetic sound continues, and more importantly, it really works. Here's Sonny Stitt with S.O.S. Thank you. Sunny Stitt with SOS from 2002, a nice recording there featuring the greats from the jazz world and just a great horn player. And, you know, he's I think probably known more for his alto saxophone playing, but in that one he just kind of just puts it all down. All right, earlier today we heard a little bit of Charlie Parker, and you know, we talked about him as being one of the founders and certainly one of the most pivotal members of the bebop movement. And we're going to have him play something different now. We played a lot of songs that are sort of original compositions or bop themes, and now we're going to go in a different direction and instead play a standard, because I want to hear what you think of him as on the standard, where he actually comes out and states the melody, and then he goes into a solo. And his solo is incredibly distinctive, but I just think there's something really compelling about the way he plays a standard and the subtlety of his playing. And I think you really start to pick up on the interplay between that melody, which is a traditional kind of melody, and what he's doing technically and harmonically. So here he is with his version of the song, Love for Sale, right here on 52nd Street.
Thank you. Thank you.
Two in a row, we started off with a little bit of Charlie Parker with A Love for Sale. And then after that, Wardell Gray along with Dexter Gordon. A young Dexter Gordon, you can actually hardly even recognize his sound or recognize him in the song called The Chase, which became the sort of standard from 1947 that many tenor duos would use in that chase format. All right, coming up next, our last track of the evening, this one features one of the first arrangers and great arrangers in bop. His name is Tad Dameron, and he's a great piano player, and you don't get a chance to hear him really stretch out. Later on, he started to do some more records, including one with John Coltrane in 1956, but he died in 1965, so we didn't really get a chance to hear him do the things he could have done, but he was one of the first people to really start arranging bop, and we're going to hear him now on piano along with Fats Navarro and Howard McGee on trumpets, and the song is called Double Talk. Hope you enjoyed a little show tonight. Until next week, next Sunday night at 8, this is Jay saying take it easy. Don't forget to support your local jazz scene. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.
Ohio.
I'm lesbian ranger Shauna Dempsey.
And I'm lesbian ranger Lori Milan. We represent one of the world's special elite forces, Lesbian National Parks and Services.
You're listening today to UMFM. We'd like to remind you, please be careful not to step on the lesbians.
You're listening to Nightlight on 101.5 UMFM. Warning, the program you are listening to is completely un... Please listen at your discretion.
Losing your grip, pulling your hair out, chewing your...